Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. We'll continue looking at the text here. I'll read the first 10 verses. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. And then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate, and of the wine that he drank, and they were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time they were to stand before the king. And among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food, or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and drink, for why should he see that you are in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come hungry for your truth. We long to know more of our King and our great High Priest. Oh, Father, I pray that you would please condescend to us, for we cannot ascend unto you. Teach us, O Lord. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. We come to the text tonight, verse 9. And last time we looked at verse 8, Daniel's resolve and his sacrifice of love. And tonight we will look at several comparisons. A comparison mainly. Not a comparison made by anyone in the text. But we will look at the comparison the text makes between two characters in verses 9 and 10. This comparison is not unfair, and it's not designed to elevate Daniel's character and his faith to an unattainable high. When I'm in this pulpit, I seek only the elevation for the name of Jesus Christ. But this grace given to Daniel was given of the Lord, who gives to us today freely if we would ask of Him and not grieve the Holy Spirit away. And we must compare Daniel's behavior with that of his fellow captives. And we will compare the heart of Daniel with the heart of Ashpenaz, the chief of the eunuchs, which we learned in verse 3. And I'm going to refer to him as by the chief of the eunuchs and by his proper name, Ashpenaz. They are one and the same. And this will not be a comparison of works. And this will be a comparison of the law, of the love and fear within the innermost beings of these two men, from which the works come forth, as merely as fruits. And it's important that we don't compare works, because God certainly does not. The unbeliever will inevitably compare their doings with the doings of others, for upon their comparisons between persons rests all their hope of acceptance before God. And that's certainly a fault. So God's not all interested in our opinions or interpretations of what pleases Him. He has made Himself known to us in His Word, and if God thought there was even a chance of anyone, including you and me, attaining His acceptability, then why would He send His Son at all? But Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, as we all know from John 14:6. So we'll compare the two, Daniel and Ashpenaz, as well as make a couple other comparisons in the text, see what we can learn from this text here. In our text last time, we saw Daniel's sacrifice in verse 8, sacrifice to God fueled by an intense love for Him. He resolved he was not going to defile himself with the king's food. He was not going to put himself in a position where his heart could be drawn away from the Lord, away from wholeheartedly serving the Lord, because that's the service He's interested in. He's not interested in half-heartedness. He wants all of your heart. Not most of it, not a piece of it, all of it. And this was Daniel's resolve. He was not going to be distracted with lawful things. And in verse 9, we see that Daniel's sacrifice was acceptable unto God, for it begins, and God gave Daniel favor. And the favor of Ashpenaz was given to Daniel. This is important to note. But let it be said that while God is completely sovereign over all, Daniel is no less responsible, and neither are we. And Daniel did not keep to himself and assume a righteous status within his own mind. Daniel is not making demands in verse 8. He does understand his place as a prisoner. And those who have truly been redeemed should never be content with indifference toward those non-believers to whom we are familiar with in name and office only. Now, what do I mean by that? Those people who we see frequently, and do not really know that well beyond what may be on their name tag at their place of business. As Christians, we have to be careful of assuming the Lord will take care of their salvation, and He will. Understand me. But if we get the opportunity to witness to them, we are certainly obligated and should be glad to take that opportunity. I used to go into Walgreens. This reminds me of a young man. I used to go into Walgreens to get a bottle of water to take to work, and there was a young man there. And I don't know why he wanted to talk to me, but every time I would come up there, he would ask me how I was doing and would begin to carry on a conversation about something I didn't really care about. He would just talk about video games and things of the world and stuff. And I was content, you know, just let me get my bottle of water and get out of here. And then one day, he took the Lord's name in vain. And I was in a hurry, it wasn't really bothering me, and it should have. And I went to work that day, and I thought, I really should have said something. So I made it a point to go in there the next time, and I told him, I said, man, You took the Lord's name in vain, and you ought not to be doing that. It's the third commandment. Well, anyway, that opened up the door for me to witness to this young man. I have not seen him quite some time. I don't pass by that way anymore since his business has moved. But we it's so easy to be satisfied that with the status of others, with their spiritual state, when the Lord does give us opportunities to really get to the heart of the person and to really speak to their inner being. And this, and to put it with the text tonight, Daniel could have totally turned himself off to this guy. Daniel understands his duty and his work as a servant of Jesus Christ, that it never ends. And regardless of culture change and being separated from his family, he knew he was still to serve his master, especially to serve his master at that point. This man, the chief of the eunuchs, was Daniel's enemy, understand, nationally speaking. And Daniel could have looked at this man and hated him in his heart and could have distanced himself from this man as much as he wanted to. This man who in verse 3 took him from his family, from his home, and from everything that he had, everything that he held dear, everything that he had known. And Daniel did not have a cold attitude or a hateful spirit towards this man who had done these things. And how many who call themselves Christians today would have thought of this man, well, he's just a heathen. He's a member of a heathenistic nation, and he's a eunuch. He's not any good to society. But Daniel cared for this man's soul. And we, as Christians, should do no less with those we have, not appointments, but with those we come in contact with on a daily basis. This chief of the eunuchs was given charge over Daniel. Daniel had to see this man on a regular basis, whether he liked it or not. And Daniel cared for this man. And to captors, those we consider our enemies, to the powers that are over us, who can know that by simply following Christ and His example, that God might give us favor with those men? Certainly we seek not to be enemies with men. We certainly seek the favor of men. And now, at this point, I've made more of Daniel's disposition to the chief of the eunuchs than he himself did in his book. Daniel writes in verse 9, God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. Meaning, the phrase in his sight, meaning that he viewed Daniel as something of a friend. The word compassion here in the ESV means tenderhearted. And I believe it's translated tender in the King James. This favor, this compassion, this tender heart towards Daniel from the chief of the eunuchs, it was given to Daniel by God. And the Lord can turn the hearts of men to do whatever He pleases. And He can soften the hardest of hearts to do those righteous deeds which are contrary to the desires of the natural, unregenerate heart. And we know by this verse that God approved of Daniel's sacrifice, as the state of this relationship between Daniel and Ashpenaz would be a primary means in Daniel's request eventually being granted. And we'll look at that in future verses. And Calvin had good words on this. Calvin says here, it often happens that we cannot discharge everything which God requires and exacts without imminent danger to our lives. Sloth and softness naturally creep over us and induce us to reject the cross. Daniel, therefore, gives us courage to obey God and His commands, and here states His favor with the prefect, since God granted His servant favor while faithfully performing His duty. Hence, let us learn to cast our care upon God when worldly terror presses us or when men forbid us with threats to obey God's commands. Here, let us acknowledge the power of God's hand to turn the hearts of those who rage against us and to free us from all danger. This, then, is the reason why Daniel says the prefect was kind to him. So, let the Christian dare to sacrifice those earthly things which threaten to steal our love from Christ. Let the Christian dare to be courteous and gracious to all, and seek to be at peace and in favor with all men. We trust God with the hearts of men, including our own. Calvin, one more time. He says, we must consider the minds and hearts of men to be so governed by God's secret instinct that He changes their affections just as He pleases. Hence, there is no reason why we should so greatly fear our enemies, although they vomit forth their rage with open mouth and are overflowing with cruelty, for they can be turned aside by the Lord. And thus let us learn from the example of Daniel to go on fearlessly in our course and not to turn aside even if the whole world should oppose us, since God can easily and readily remove all impediments, and we shall find those who were formerly most cruel become humane when the Lord wishes to spare us. We'll close verse 9 with that statement, and we'll look at verse 10. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear. Just as Daniel feared the Lord and requested of Ashpenaz that he might not be subjected to this, to eating this food, which would have given him a bad conscience in the sight of God. So Ashpenaz has a subordinate fear just like Daniel does. And here the comparison begins. That we have Daniel who fears God, and we have Ashpenaz who fears his Lord, the king, a mortal man. Daniel makes no demands of conscience, and Ashpenaz really asserts no laws of duty. Ashpenaz does, however, hope to convince Daniel to apply himself to this routine. Daniel makes a request founded on a holy fear of God. Ashpenaz counters his request with a statement founded on his chief fear, which is the king. It doesn't say his chief fear, but one of his fears, the king Nebuchadnezzar, his wrath. You see, Ashpenaz is presently in our text what Nebuchadnezzar hoped to make of Daniel eventually. Someone who does fear the king. Someone who does serve Babylon and is loyal to Babylon and to the ways of Babylon. Ashpenaz is an example in the text of what Daniel was to be and what many of the captive youths were headed toward who were not faithful to the Lord and who went with the culture change and who gave in. And Daniel's, just like Ashpenaz is under the king, Daniel is under God. They both recognize their subordinacy. And Daniel's allegiance is to no one but God. But he also respects the authority God has given to Ashpenaz and to Nebuchadnezzar. And the allegiance of each man, of Ashpenaz and Daniel, is clear at this point. And why does Ashpenaz verbalize his fear of Nebuchadnezzar? Because Daniel's request to not partake of this food, the food that Daniel was requesting to not partake of, was primarily of Nebuchadnezzar's giving. It came from him as the main source. Why does Daniel fear God only and not Nebuchadnezzar or Ashpenaz? Because everything was of the Lord's giving. Ashpenaz feared Nebuchadnezzar, but only the food was of his giving. Daniel feared the Lord, who gave all three men everything. Daniel has only to respect and honor the king whom God appointed, but not to fear him as supreme, which is the state of Ashpenaz. I don't know if Ashpenaz had other gods that he worshipped on a regular basis. What all the gods of Babylon were at this particular point in history. And it's important to note that Daniel has not broken any laws with his request that he makes in verse 8. It's with the fear of the Lord and of his laws that Daniel has requested this change in diet. Ashpenaz would have it that nothing would change. His desire is for everything to go along with the scheduled routine. Ashpenaz, kind of indirectly, confesses to not having the authority necessary to implement such a change, to grant Daniel's request. He cannot understand why a change would be necessary. It's beyond his comprehension. And he goes on in verse 10 to explain this. For I fear my Lord the King, who assigns your food and drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? And here another comparison is to be made. Daniel is concerned primarily with the state of his heart before the Lord. This is an example of the Christian, the one who follows Christ. Daniel is primarily concerned with the state of his heart before God. Ashpenaz, on the other hand, is primarily concerned with the state of the body before men. The worst condition that Ashpenaz is here referring to is that of a sad and gloomy countenance due to poor living, as Albert Barnes puts it in his notes, fasting almost due to the not being included in the diet of the Babylonians. So Ashpenaz cannot understand what brings Daniel the highest joy. Well, for every Christian, that's service unto God. Ashpenaz assumes that a sad countenance is all there is to be gained when the body is denied these delights, this food here. And here another comparison is made. Daniel's delight is in serving the Lord. He goes as far as he can in his service unto God to keep himself pure and holy before God. Ashpenaz is delighted just to serve men so that the king would be happy. This is the condition of the hearts of these two men. Ashpenaz makes a comparison of his own now, setting up the youths of Babylon and of those captives immediately surrounding Daniel, and more than likely of some who have gone on before him in this training, this regiment of learning and diet in order to be used in the service unto the king. Ashpenaz views this as the standard. He speaks for the king and says, why should he see? Ashpenaz speaks here for all unbelievers who have standards and deem their own standards best, even to applying to other standards, where it will prove to be beneficial for them. For the believer to do what God commands and to love Him with all their being, that is our chief delight. There we know no higher joy. There is no higher joy given to the sons of men than this, for it is the very end which we were created unto. For the unbeliever to lavish upon their own vessels, this mortal body, all that their heart desires, this is their greatest joy. They spend their lifetime doing this. The very fact that Daniel would derive joy from abstaining from these seeming to be wonderful pleasures, the very fact that Daniel would derive some greater pleasure from them somehow is an absolutely foreign idea to Ashpenaz. He can understand Daniel's fear of a higher being, for all men have fear of a higher being. He can understand Daniel's acknowledgement of authority and his own subordinacy, for he, as all men do, understand there are positions of power and positions of servitude. But he cannot, as no one who has not been enlightened by the Spirit can, why Daniel would refuse something of pleasure. He may perceive that the course of food as it is not the best nutritionally, and that one may do well to their health to make a wiser choice. This is understandable, but to be as serious about it as to risk life and position in life, that to Ashpenaz is unthinkable and leads him to make the closing remark, so you would endanger my head with the king. Ashpenaz would not dare lose his life, regardless of his feelings to Daniel. We'll see how the Lord used these feelings that he did give to Daniel through Ashpenaz. But he supposes, that Ashpenaz supposes that if he were to bring Daniel's petition to the king, he would endanger his own life. And Daniel supposes that if he eats this food, that he would endanger his soul state before God. So here's the last comparison between these two. Daniel seeks to preserve his soul unto God. Ashpenaz seeks to preserve his body unto himself. So, we see, looking at these two men, that one fears man created of dust and is concerned primarily with the things of this earth, with things temporal, things very quickly to be taken away, cut off. And we have another, Daniel, concerned with things that last, with laying up real treasures in heaven, and as divine as they are real. One concerned with the only thing that matters now, tomorrow, and forever, and that is simply the Lord. And what will be your confession? This is the question we have to ask ourselves, and we do, even subconsciously. What will be your confession when the day of life on earth ends? When the breath has gone forth, it's a vapor, and it's there for a second, and then the next second it's gone. And here comes the future, not even to be compared with the age of the whole earth, much less a lifetime, has come. Will your confession be that of Ashpenaz, I fear man, or of Daniel, I fear God? And then in closing, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, because this verse applies to all the feelings that the believer has. It applies to every feeling. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter my mood. It doesn't matter the circumstances, what's going on. This verse always keeps me grounded. And it's Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in verse 13. Sums up the existence of everything. It says, the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. People want to know why they exist. Well, it is right there in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God, keep His commandments. What are we supposed to do? What's the right mode of living? Fear God and keep His commandments. And you can chase after delight. We enjoy many delightful things. Food is special. But if it starts to direct us, if it can, we have to be careful. If it can lead us away from the Lord and from taking our eyes off the end of the matter of why we exist, we have to take every step necessary to put those things in their proper place. And that is always under the Lord Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes 12:13 again. The end of the matter, all has been heard. This is the summarization of all wisdom, of all that ever needs to be said. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Let's pray. Oh Father, I pray that You would help us to live undefiled before You. I pray that You would help us to properly despise all that is not Christ. I pray that You would help us to put all things under You and to desire Your smile to be upon us. I pray that You would help us to have a holy and righteous fear of You and who You are. I pray that You would help us to not only know Your commandments, but to keep them always before us. Help us to walk in them, Father. Conform us more every day to be like Your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in His name that I pray. Amen.